From India's largest newsroom, I'm Meenal Bagheel, and this is the Times of India podcast. Do you get a sense that he might leave cricket entirely shortly?
Look, if you had asked me this question a week ago, I would have said there's no chance in hell. But having seen what he has done with leaving the captaincy, there is a very serious chance that he feels that it's just not worth it anymore. Because he has achieved a lot. Everyone is talking about how this could be a second wind for him as a batsman and that he could, you know, enjoy the best years of his life as a batsman, carefree and doesn't have to think about the team environment, doesn't have to think about leading. But that doesn't come naturally to all personalities. I don't think Kohli is the kind of person who thrives on not having responsibility, who thrives on not being in the thick of things. Being captain was not really a badge of honor or anything like that to him. It was being in a position to effect the changes that would give the team the best chance to win. Because I think fundamentally, Kohli is just about winning. If he doesn't think he's contributing to winning matches or to getting to a position where the team will win consistently, I don't think he'll want to play cricket anymore.
That's cricket writer Anand Vasu, who has been covering the game for over two decades. He's at present in South Africa reporting on the Indian team's tour. Though recent revelations about Sourav Ganguly wanting to issue a show cause notice to Virat Kohli for airing his differences with the BCCI may well have prompted the captain's decision to step down, Vasu says that for the touring media party, his resignation came as a big shock.
The big breaking story at this hour, Virat Kohli has stepped down as India's test captain.
In test matches, this comes right on the back of the team's three-match test series against South Africa, which ended in a 2-1 loss.
3 months later, Kohli is not captain of the three formats.
So we respect his decision because we should respect, you know, whatever a player thinks.
Did Kohli's announcement take you by surprise?
I think shock is more appropriate than surprise. There was absolutely no indication that something like this was on the cards. Kohli had just addressed a press conference at the end of the test match, and he had spoken about several different things. And naturally, there were no questions about whether he would continue or whether he had thoughts about not continuing, because it just seemed too far off the radar to even contemplate something like that.
So there was no indication whatsoever?
There was absolutely zero indication. Then this is exactly what happened with Mahendra Singh Dhoni. I was there on that day as well. We were in Melbourne. India had lost a test match. Dhoni came to a press conference. 45 minutes, he spoke about everything under the sun. Last question was how India's tail is not wagging like South Africa's tail. He made some joke about how, you know, you can't talk about dogs' tails and PETA and things like that. Left the ground. And the team bus literally left the ground. And 10 minutes later, we got an email from the BCCI office in Bombay telling us that Dhoni in Melbourne was no longer captain. We kind of used to these things coming as a shock. They very rarely happen in an orderly manner or in an expected manner.
Certainly with Virat Kohli, whose social media followers, 46 million on Twitter and 180 million on Instagram at last count, greater than the population of a few small nations, there is nothing that he does which can be unchoreographed. Many say his decision to step down as India's captain is a natural outcome of his tug of war with the Board of Control for Cricket in India. In a widely read column for the Times of India, social commentator, brand guru, and avid cricket follower Santosh Desai wrote, and I quote, In many ways, the current development is the victory of mediocre self-interest over the integrity of talent, unquote. But could it be, I asked Santosh Desai, just a simple case of burnout? And how does Kohli stepping down impact brand Virat?
You know, I think it's normal for sports persons with long careers to have these, you know, peaks and troughs. So I don't think he's yet at the stage where you can automatically read a loss of form as an inevitable decline. I mean, you know, maybe a year or two from now, that becomes the most obvious kind of way of reading it, to say that, you know, this is inevitable, you know, age catches up with the best of us, etc. But I think here, I think that would be a little premature to arrive at that conclusion. Yes, I think there is a certain fatigue with, things that happen off the field. And I think there is a certain desire to stay focused on what is happening on the ground. And I think that can be something that can be sapping. The fact that, you know, you feel in some ways unloved, or you feel that you have to prove yourself unjustly to people who shouldn't matter, but unfortunately do. I think that sense of a burden, I can understand if that were the case. But whether this constitutes or this represents in any way a decline, I as of now, I don't think so.
Kohli wants to show the world something. The BCCI wants to show Kohli something. So it's also a kind of, as you said, like maybe he's aligned with the mood of the country, but it's also coming up short against a very old kind of thing where, you know, you can't be greater than the institution, and that, you know, you will be taken down a peg or two.
I would hesitate to use the word institution for the BCCI, but certainly a loose, you know, conglomeration of interests, certainly, which is what the BCCI has always represented. I think that's really what it is, more than an institution in any real sense of the word. Yes, I think this is a desire to take somebody down a peg. You're getting too big for your boots. You're beginning to say things that you should not be saying. You know, and unless you kowtow, and unless you, you know, pay ritual homage to the past that be, you know, you can be dispensed with. And I think that message, or the fact that you are dispensable, is the message that has gone out, I think, very clearly here. Not that it is only a product of today's time. I mean, you see, you know, how quickly, I mean, 1983, we won the World Cup, and by 1985, when we went to Australia, Gavaskar was captain, and so on. I mean, endless number of these reshuffles were. But in today's time, one would have thought that it becomes a little more difficult because of the fact that, you know, players have followings which are strong, and you have social media which is, you know, which is loud and angry all the time. And therefore, in general, I think there is a greater sense of a check and balance on the BCCI, except that this particular dispensation, I think, has the political heft to still get their way without having to worry too much about consequences.
We keep saying that, you know, people in Hollywood speak out, or American sports stars speak out on political issues, on larger societal issues. But in India, that doesn't happen. And Virat is a very good cautionary tale in that sense.
Hollywood stars do not face, you know, their films don't get boycotted. They do not face personal kind of attacks and vicious personal attacks. Their families do not get attacked and get dragged in. I mean, it's a totally different kind of a context, in the two countries, and particularly now, where the atmosphere is a much more hostile one to anyone having an opinion, which clashes with the dominant political discourse. And I think so that and if you, in truth, if you were to look at a couple of things that have drawn the ire of the people that have attacked him. One, the fact that he supported, anti-crackers campaign in Japan, which is like an utterly sane and harmless thing in any society, I mean, to do. Or to defend a colleague and who's being trolled because of his religion to, you know, and it's interesting that the trolls want to have it both ways. At one level, they're saying, actually, that didn't happen. But if it did happen, you shouldn't have said it, you know, meaning or whatever. I mean, so if it didn't happen and he said it, there's no skin off anybody's back, right? I mean, so what's the problem? overall sense is that how dare you speak? I mean, you know, and that there will be consequences if you speak, even if it is in any other context, largely harmless. This is pro forma stuff. I mean, to say, you know, this is not being dramatically brave.
That also kind of makes it a very sort of piquant situation for big brands, for individuals who are big brands, because you're, while you're a big brand because you're an individual celebrity, but you're also being forced to be anodyne. This dilemma that people like, say, Shah Rukh Khan or Virat or lots of other celebrities who are now going quieter on social media, in fact.
I think it's, you know, I think it's important to empathize, I think, with also to a certain extent with the pressure that I think they would be under. I think given the fact, see, the fact is anybody with a platform needs to be controlled. So if you have a platform, you're popular in anything, and you have, you know, X number of million followers on social media, which means that you have to be kept in check. I mean, that's the very clear sort of a starting point. Now, and you will, you know, go to any lengths in order to do that. I mean, you know, what happened with Shah Rukh's son, for instance, is you know, is something that, you know, it's not just you, it's your family. So it's not a, you know, it's not an, so it's easy to say things like, you know, the fact that, in which way I find, again, you know, this, you know, why are Muslim actors silent and why? Because they have been, you know, they have very clearly got the message, you know, not to speak. So, you know, there is no Amir, there is not a peep out of Amir after that, you know, intolerance whole debate after so many, you know, it's been a long time since he last was spoke. So I do think that this is part of a very deliberate kind of an effort, which has succeeded. And it has succeeded because of the asymmetry that exists between the power of the state, particularly a state that does not necessarily only color inside the lines. I mean, so, you know, it doesn't restrict itself to that. And you have of the individual, and no matter, you know, see, and a celebrity, there is a hollow form of strength that, you know, you seem to be very influential, but you actually have no power. Right.
Precisely.
You don't have a position, actually. You don't actually have any authority of any kind that is vested in you. The authority is all informal. And so therefore it can dissipate very quickly. Also, the other thing is that you're a commercial machine. Hmm. It's not just you. So if you get attacked, your films get attacked, then associating with you becomes dangerous for everybody else around. And in this case, the family gets attacked. So I think it's a, you know, given the position that the celebrity is in today. And so is there a way out? I you know, unless you are past caring, you are at a stage in life where it doesn't matter to you. So you had someone like a Rishi Kapoor, of course, who spoke in all directions. So it's not, you know, it's not as if he only spoke in one. But there was a certain liberation that you know, you could relatively see in his utterances that you don't see in anybody else's, because everybody else is part of something larger that they do not want to put at risk. So I don't see an easy way out of this. There is a certain place that he has made in the pantheon of celebrities, which I don't think is dependent on his performance on a day-to-day basis. So I think he has kind of, you know, lifted himself above that. And if you think about it, you know, we don't manufacture sporting celebrities of that stature that easily. So in a team of, you know, at any given point in time, between all the formats of the game, you have 15, 20 players who are active. At any given point in time, one, at most two players actually rise to the level of becoming celebrities. So yeah, so if you look at, say, endorsement deals, a Dhoni will still get a lot of deals. But, you know, people who are great performers like a Bumrah or something will be, you know, getting the odd deal or two, but are nowhere near in the same class of celebrities, even though as players, they may be, you know, as valuable.
Yeah.
So I think he has made the transition. And so that is not going to go away in a hurry. Apart from the fact that because of, you know, who he is married to, there is a certain cachet that you know, as a couple that they have, which I think adds to the brand. So in the... Also, I mean, it depends, of course, if his form continues to decline and he does not kind of come back to anywhere near his earlier form, then obviously there will be some loss of luster in the brand. If it comes back, then for a couple of years, I think, you know, there will be another story that is possible. You know, the fact that resilience and the fact that in spite of best efforts to put him down, you know, he rises again. So overall, I don't think that in the immediate short run, there is any dramatic difference that will be made to his brand. But yes, given his age and given where he's at, there is some decline that is in the offing sooner or later.
Are you sort of disappointed in Ganguly, because he was in a way a sort of the original prototype for what Virat sort of excelled at and kind of took forward?
The answer to that is yes. There is clearly disappointment, but that disappointment started some time back. So it's not necessarily linked only to this action. I think, you know, once you are a politician and you play a different game. I mean, you're not playing cricket and you're not, you know, that's not your game anymore. I mean, you may be involved in cricket, but you're not actually have anything to do with cricket. You're playing a game which is a recognizable game that you find everywhere where there is people in power trying to stay in power, aligning with the more powerful in order to do that. I mean, so it's a different pattern of actions. And I think one should actually dissociate the Ganguly of the player and the captain from the Ganguly of today, because they're actually two different people with two different motivations.
Who would you like to see as the new Indian cricket captain?
That's a tough one, because actually that's the problem which I actually also wrote about, the fact that there isn't actually that such a clear answer. If it is framed in terms of who would I like to see, frankly, I would struggle, because I certainly would not like to see Rishabh Pant as captain. Let me put it that way. I think I have no idea why everybody keeps pushing him as captain, and why he's even captaining the Delhi IPL side. I have no idea. But I do not see in him the maturity that is needed to lead people. There's enthusiasm. He's a young, you know, infectiously kind of enthusiastic kid, but that's where it's at. So given the choices, I think, you know, Rohit Sharma, because he has led the side before and for a longer period of time, there is a certain, at least a sense of calm and which I think is who he is. I think there is some stability that he could lend, given, of course, the fact that he's earns a place in the team. KL Rahul, I think, is again a little undercooked. Currently, could well become a captain, but is undercooked right now. And Bumrah, who people talk of, has no experience in captaincy. And so just because, you know, he speaks well at post-match interviews is not enough for us to sort of conclude that he's captaincy material. So I would go with Rohit without that necessarily being an ideal choice.
Cricket writer Anand Vasu, whom you heard at the start of the podcast, says Virat is so focused on winning that even if he does well personally, but the team doesn't, it may leave him disenchanted. And teams in transition, cautions Anand, often tend to lose.
I think winning is the actual goal for him, not how many runs he scores. If he scores 20 runs and the team wins, he's going to be okay with that. It's not like he needs to score 100 every third innings that he plays. But if he's losing, he really does not enjoy cricket. I don't think he enjoys, if he scores a 100 and a beautiful 100 in good time, aesthetically pleasing, he's done everything right and the team loses. I don't think he goes back to the dressing room or goes to bed at night thinking, I had a good day, but the team lost. He's just that sort of personality who hates losing. And I think if India do lose, and it looks like that might happen a little bit as it does in transitions, then Kohli might enjoy the game less and less, and it might reach another breaking point.
How do you see Kohli's departure affecting the Indian team, departure as captain affecting the Indian team?
Kohli has been such a dominant figure in this team as captain. For any leader to step up and fill those shoes, especially when Kohli is still within the team and still, you know, he's there, but he's not leader. He's there, but he's not captain. So I think it's going to be very difficult for anyone to adjust to that kind of situation. And Kohli is not the kind of personality who slips easily into the background. You know, it's one thing to grow from being a junior player in the team to being a vocal junior player to being a senior member to then being in the leadership group and then being captain. That's almost a natural progression that you expect as you enjoy success in a cricket team or in a sporting environment. Now, while that curve is natural, the downslide generally isn't. You don't be the most successful leader of the team for a very long time, then slip quietly into the background. Usually people push it till breaking point and then just go away.
We've had instances of other superstar players in the past, Sachin most notably, of course. But even before that, Azhar, Kapil Dev, people who were superstars, who were captains, and then who went on to kind of be regular players in the national team.
The times that all of these people that you mentioned lived in are slightly different. I mean, Kohli has always been the center of attention. He has always been the person that everyone looked at. I mean, you literally had like a Kohli cam on him. Every time he was on the field, there were four cameras tracking what he was doing, even if he was doing not very much. This was not the case before. Kohli has 175 million followers on Instagram. That is several countries worth of people hanging on his every word. And this was not the case with players of a earlier era. So Kohli is, in one sense, he's not wooing the attention, but I don't think he minds it either. I think he does thrive on the attention.
Sure.
So how he will deal with not being the center of attention, I think is going to be quite a big challenge for him.
He's only in his early 30s. Does it strike you that he might be disillusioned with cricket?
I think he was so used to being the most important person in Indian cricket, where he got exactly what he wanted, whether it was the coach that he wanted, whether it was the selectors to go along with his hunches and with his philosophy, whether it was an administrator who backed him up to the core in terms of what he needed. When slowly these things started falling away, when he did not have that, when he was not the absolute one in control, I think cricket became a little less fun. Being cricket captain of India became a little less of a pleasurable experience. And I also think that he might have reached a stage where he had done all he possibly could with this team. He may win a few more series, but these would just be incremental add-ons. It wouldn't be a significant difference that he could personally make in the growth of this team. And sometimes when you feel that you've done all you can and you're living in an environment which takes a lot out of you, these guys have been in consecutive bio bubbles over and over and over. I think it just reached that point where it was taking so much more out of him than it was giving to him.
How would you assess his captaincy?
This is a difficult one because he's India's statistically most successful captain of all time. He did a lot of that by having very specific theories and putting them into force without brooking no opposition, making no compromise. Tactically, when he began, he was not the most astute captain. In terms of team selections, in terms of decisions he made on the field, he did not appear to be anywhere close to India's best captain. But he decided that India needed to win overseas, so we need to have four fast bowlers who can be performing all the time. To that end, built a larger fast bowling group, ensured that the National Cricket Academy was on board, ensured that he played five specialist bowlers in every match, home or away, which sometimes was not the ideal thing to do. But he was looking at a bigger picture, and he enforced that bigger picture.
Why do you think Virat, having been India's most successful captain, statistically speaking, at the peak of his prowess, though he's been having a bit of a bad run recently, Why do you think he fell foul of the powers that be?
I think it's very rare that a person in India, in any walk of life, takes on the system and comes out the better for it. Kohli has been challenging, has been pushing a lot of things, has been challenging a lot of things in the recent past. You know about how there have been different versions of how he stepped down from the T20 captaincy, he was sacked from the ODI captaincy, and there's the BCCI saying one thing, there's the selectors saying one thing, there's Kohli saying one thing. When you have a situation like that, it just shows that there are people who should be working together who are actually slightly pulling in different directions behind the scenes. And I don't think Kohli wants to be a part of an organization that works like that, or doesn't want to be a part of the leadership of an organization that works like that. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to wins and losses and success, the buck stops with the captain. But the captain can perhaps only feel in charge if he knows that everything that is working behind the scenes is working with him, alongside him. I think Kohli stopped feeling that this was the case.
Today's episode is produced by Jairad Singh, Arun George, and Sunay Marathe. For a daily spotlight on people, ideas, and stories that matter, subscribe to us. We are available on TOI Plus, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and all other platforms of your choice. For any news tips, reach us at TOIPodcast@timesinternet.in.